This episode of Star Wars in Character is sponsored in part by Audible.com. Audible.com offers well over 100 Star Wars audiobook titles, including the new novel Darth Plagueis, the full story of the Sith legend first mentioned in Revenge of the Sith. Now you can download one free audiobook from Audible.com, including Darth Plagueis, or any one of the other Star Wars titles, or any of the over 100,000 titles from Audible.com's library by visiting audibletrial.com/SWIC. Again, that's audibletrial.com/SWIC for your free audiobook.
Hi, this is Bonnie Peace. I played Beru, and you're listening to Star Wars in Character.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about either this Krayt Dragon. Or the one that Matt prefers on the Blu-ray. Or the other one, which we cannot forget. Alrighty.
Alright, first point of contention. None of those are the Krayt Dragon. They're all Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, good point. Great point, actually. Well, that's the case.
Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you in episode 42.
Or we have this one, which, remember this scene? Me neither.
What the hell was that?
That's the Krayt Dragon.
According to what?
What?
It's a Star Wars soundboard.
Really? That's interesting.
It is, because it sounds like a lion, like a natural roar.
Okay.
All right, the Krayt Dragon sort of kind of appears in A New Hope, you know, in bone shape, and mostly every other video game and book ever created.
Anyone else in the world can say bone shaped and be okay. Chris says it, and I giggle.
Bone shaped.
See, I did it again.
Now, these names are from a fan who I am going to call Boba Brett. Brett is a good guy. He gives me some great names, and I'm using them. Thank you, Boba Brett. Today, my name will be Hayden Christensen. I don't know why I never even thought of that one, but...
Because it's good.
Now... this one's for you, Matt.
All right.
If I'm Hayden, you are Natalie Portman.
I thought you were going to say Madalie.
Yeah, Madalie would be better.
I'm torn on that one because, you know, one, it's like the third or fourth or fifth time I've been called a woman, but it's Natalie Portman. So, you know, if I were Natalie Portman, I'd be looking at myself in the mirror naked all the time.
I would look at you, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And it would be more appropriate than when you do it now.
To my right is Don B's Dave. And we know Tim loves him. We know Tim sometimes wants to be him. Steven Stanton.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
Alright. You better.
I do like Steven Stanton. He's a good dude. He's been good to us.
He is.
And we try to be good to him.
Steven Stanton.
Yes.
Give us some facts that made this sound.
Yeah. Now, this is an interesting one because we're actually doing a character that isn't even really in the movie. This is, you know, we see the corpse of one and that's it. No actual Krayt Dragons were actually in any of the films.
They're going to say no Krayt Dragons were actually harmed in the filming of these.
It's funny, as I was saying that in my head, I heard myself saying that too. But no, the Krayt Dragon is a carnivorous reptile that is native to the planet of Tatooine. Interesting facts about the Krayt Dragon is they actually grow continuously during their lifespan. They never stop growing. So if Yeah, I guess you can judge the age of a Krayt Dragon by its size. And they also live to be around, they can live to be around 100 years old. And another interesting fact that I don't know how this works, but they don't weaken with age. So if a crate dragon is 99 years old, it's still as strong as it ever was. That's how I interpret that to mean.
99 problems, but a crate dragon ain't one.
And you know, when the summer mating season begins, the crate dragons actually descend into the canyons of Tatooine, and they howl to attract a mate.
Now that's what you stop right there, Tim. Is that the sound that the Obi-Wan's making? Is he like calling out a mating call?
They are saying. Well, I've read two different things. They are saying that, and this is on Wikipedia, Obi-Wan Kenobi mimicked a crate dragon mating call when he scared the Tusken Raiders away.
Were the Tusken Raiders afraid that they were going to get raped by a crate dragon?
Oh, no. Oh, come on now. Just think about this. I can buy this. Just from an entomological standpoint, which is a fucking word I just made up. Poor generalization. Many animals, and it sounds like, and it's certainly in the reptile world, the mating season is very aggressive and very almost possessive or territorial. Like, I wouldn't want to be anything on two legs or any legs near a crate dragon while it's mating, because it may perceive me as a threat or a competition and kill me. So that makes perfect sense. Yep. That you'd run away when you hear a crate dragon mating call.
I like that. I like that.
I would think, as what Matt said, when something is ready to mate, it is a much more aggressive creature, because, you know, the survival of the fittest.
Is that how you, Tim?
Yes. Yes.
Don't get around Tim when he's in heat.
Pon far Tim. You know.
Oh, jeez.
But according to the radio drama, and those of us who have heard the radio drama, Obi-Wan Kenobi actually says it in the radio drama. He says, Luke Skywalker asks, you know, what was that sound, or what made the sand people leave? And Obi-Wan Kenobi's in, and I quote, "I imitated the hunting cry of a crate dragon. Their imaginations did the rest of the work and took to their heels." This is straight out of the radio drama. So there's some conflicting stories as to exactly what that sound is. I would like to think it's the mating call. Either way, I'd be scared.
Either way, I buy. Both yeah. work for me.
Well, you guys know more about this stuff than I do. How much do people accept what happened in those radio dramas as, you know, the Bible of Star Wars? Or is that just kind of like some other things? Like, people have their own interpretations? Or is that like...
Yeah, how do you answer that question for any source material, honestly? Yeah. I mean, that's such a diverse opinion with everything. I don't know how to answer that.
I thought maybe just because it's older and... It's been around for so long, people respect it more than some other things. So maybe if he said it in that, that's what people go with. I mean, I don't know from one thing or the other. I go by what you guys tell me.
I would probably think that the radio dramas are closer to Lucas canon than most novels and other EU sources. I hold the radio dramas up to a really high standard, I guess.
I'll give my opinion for what it's worth. I certainly, all of it's fine with me. But if I were, you know, pressed for an answer, I would consider the radio dramas far closer to canon, because they tend to fill in the gaps between scenes of what George Lucas has already written. It's not outside that scope, if you follow what I'm saying.
Okay.
It's like he fills in, you know, the points that are not even missing, but just expanding upon, you know, the rebel spies stealing the plans all the way to the destruction of the Death Star. He doesn't really go outside that. So that's what the movie is, and he stays within that parameter.
Who wrote the radio dramas? I mean, like, other than the stuff that's in the movie, if there's something that's added in the radio dramas, who wrote that stuff?
Brian Daley.
Okay, yep. So it wasn't a Lucas explanation.
No. I believe Brian Daley also wrote the first official Star Wars novel, Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Yes.
So he seems to be handpicked by Lucas to expand upon his works, is one of the point I think I'm trying to make.
Okay, well, that's kind of what I thought, because I don't have an opinion on it. That's kind of what I thought you were both going to say, and what most people believe, that because that's been around since nearly the beginning, that if it says that in that, then that's probably what it really is. even though the mating call thing is funnier and more interesting. Yeah.
You know, I don't see that he did write Splinters of the Mind's Eye. I might be wrong in there, but he did write the Han Solo Adventures, which were released in 79 and 80. So he did do some original work.
I think Alan Dean Foster wrote Splinter. But yeah, Brian Daly, I think Brian Daly passed away. I may be wrong.
Yeah, he did, like in the late 90s. Like he actually died right as they were recording the Return of the Jedi radio drama that he wrote. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, for those of you out there, the radio dramas are really great. I mean, they take a 2-hour movie and expand them to like 5-6 hours, but they're really interesting. They're not boring.
They're really great. Yeah, I love listening to those. I probably listen to the whole all three of them twice a year. I really do. They're a lot of fun to listen to.
I know a lot of people probably disagree with me. I would like to hear them do radio dramas on the prequels. I think there's a lot of material there that they could work with to expand on and potentially improve.
Yeah, you're not going to believe this, but I actually agree with that. I would like to hear how that would come out because I just like the. The change in media for it. It's just so much more interesting what they have to do with the dialogue. It's the same. It's a similar when they do scenes that are from the movie, it's the same scene essentially, but they have to change the dialogue. Brian Daly did a fantastic job of writing this as if you've never seen Star Wars. So he has to redo the dialogue and so that they can describe what's happening so you can visual it in your mind's eye. And he does it without being cheesy. Like, look at that 10-foot tall blue statue staying in front of me. You know, it's not that lame. He does it far better than that.
Well, that's cool. I should listen to these, and I like it when you guys talk about this stuff because I usually end up learning something because I'm ignorant about a lot of this stuff.
Anyway, but yes, this is I love talking about the radio drama. But
yeah, me too. I just realized me and Tim are the only ones talking for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
happen without us yelling at each other?
And I'm about to say, unfortunately, this episode is about the crate dragon. But yeah, I mean that's really it. We see a skeleton of the crate dragon in Star Wars as between the time that. C-3PO and R2 crash land on Tatooine, and when they're captured by Jawas, in that short period of time, he walks by a full skeleton of a crate dragon. And as a kid, for those of us that are of the original trilogy era, there was the picture storybook that came out for all three of the original ones. And I don't know if they put those out for the prequels or not, but that picture just fascinated me as a kid. I would page through that book, and I can remember myself with a piece of onion paper tracing that picture of the skeleton. And to me, that always fascinated me. And I think for a lot of people our age, I think that skeleton was fascinating because you're like, well, what was it? That thing's huge. What was that thing?
Well, Tim, I read now. I don't know if it's true. If it's true, it'd be awesome. Supposedly, that skeleton is there today.
I read that. I read that when they were done filming Star Wars, they left the skeleton out there. And when they went back to film Episode II, some of the crew, they figured out where that had been shot. And they went back and they said that the skeleton, at least parts of it, were still there.
Yeah, they dug it up. It was all, like, I guess, buried under all the sandstorms and all that after all the years. But it was still there.
I don't know how much I believe that, though.
Me neither.
So that means Lucasfilm's a bunch of fucking litterers.
Well, I mean, if you look at what they did with the Sarlacc pit set out in California or Arizona, wherever that was, they literally just buried everything under there. And if you go out, you can there's websites, Star Wars archaeology websites, where you can get the exact global positionings, and you can take a GPS and get out there and be at where the set was, and you can find little bits of foam that was the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, good.
So it's not unheard of that they abandoned sets. But I have a book somewhere, and I tried to find the picture of at least parts of the skeleton after filming had ended on Star Wars at ILM. Different pieces of the skeleton. Initially, I thought that it was a miniature, but it actually was full size. All those pieces were actually that big.
Wow.
But it makes sense to not want to pay to bring that stuff back. I mean, I don't know what they were made out of. plaster, probably plaster, but
it does, but it's still littering in a sense. It's like, yeah, I don't want to deal with that. Let someone else pick it up.
Yeah, it's littering in Tunisia.
That's why these countries are in such a downslide. We use them as our garbage dumps.
You can start a national incident.
Yeah, nice going, George.
I would have to say that it chances if they were actually left there, and with these people going to Tunisia on you know Star Wars tourism and Star Wars archaeology, if those pieces were in fact left there, I would guess that people have gone and taken pieces of those things back with them. They probably do not exist anymore if they were left there. In Tatooine culture, the Cray Dragon has significance for both the Jawas and the Sand People. The Sand People use the Cray Dragon as like a rite of passage, their initiation into manhood, where they would actually take an adolescent sand teen and bring him out into the Dune Sea and drop him off and drive away and leave him there, and he couldn't come back until he kills a Cray Dragon.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can imagine that scene, like the parent Tusken Raider's trying to get the teenager in the car. And he's like, come on, Dad, I don't want to go out there. And they drop him off like a block away from the Cray Dragon because he doesn't want to be seen by the other Tusken Raiders. And what he has to kill it?
They have to kill a Cray Dragon. That is that's their bar mitzvah.
But a group of grown Tusken Raiders is scared by just the sound of one of these things, and then a teenager is supposed to kill himself.
So all those grown, they should have all already killed a Cray Dragon. This is old hand.
All right.
It was the sexual call that made them all, you know.
Yeah, like, oh, geez. But yeah,
the sexual call? You mean the mating call? That's felt like they went, ooh.
What do you call mating? Call it sex.
Sexual is different, though. There's nothing sexual about that call.
There are some Barry White outtakes when he went in to try to record a voice.
Yeah.
But it didn't quite work out. And the Jawas actually prized the bones of a Cray Dragon for whatever reason. I don't know exactly why they're prized. It's not very clear, but they really like collecting Cray Dragon bones. Well, so like droids and Cray Dragons.
They're not very good at finding them. There's a big, huge honking one out there.
Right.
Yeah. They never got.
I'm pretty sure that at that point, isn't that when C-3PO is like, over here.
Yeah. That's it.
Who knows? Maybe they picked them up.
Sounds like this Wikipedia entry is just strewn with random facts that no one's ever going to ask about this. Fuck it. Just put that in there.
And, you know, that's pretty much it. Everything else is sort of behind the scenes information. There's the Cray Dragon shows up in a bunch of video games. And
oh, yeah, a lot of them.
I know on the original Xbox Old Republic game, it's a really tough level to beat that damn Cray Dragon. You have to beat the Cray Dragon to get a pearl, to get a star map, and from a guy who looks like Bib Fortuna. I think it's Bib Fortuna's brother or something.
Bob Fortuna.
It's the one from episode one.
It's Bob Fortuna. but yeah, it shows up in a bunch of video games. I'm sure on the new Old Republic game out there, they're probably going to show up on certain levels of that. But yeah, it's all over video games, all over the books. Ralph McQuarrie actually did a concept design for the Cray Dragon, which I didn't see it in the Art of Star Wars book, but it's actually in the Illustrated Star Wars book that came out about 15 years ago. It's a pretty neat drawing. It's him. It's a bunch of sand people attacking a pissed off Cray Dragon. It's pretty neat. And actually in the Art of Star Wars book, there is a small little sketch by the production designer, John Barry, with the bones. So I guess he sort of planned out the placement of the bones. Other than that, the only real thing that we have is the three variations that Chris played at the beginning. I don't know if we want to play those again just to point them out.
Well,
I got two. I think one's going.
Well, I'm confused about which was which. The very first thing that you played was from the DVD release.
It said theatrical, actually.
From the theatrical release.
Yeah, that's what it said.
The second thing you played is from the new Blu-ray.
Yes.
The third thing you played was from
2004, Tim, you said, or something?
Yeah, there's the when the DVD came out in 2004, they changed the Cray Dragon call.
Why didn't anyone have a fit of that back then? I don't remember that being a big thing.
No.
No, well,
there was, yeah, there, these leaks weren't as, I don't remember anything being leaked in the DVD release the way this Blu-ray one was. This was leaked like a month before it came out.
Yeah, true.
I think when the Blu-rays came out, people were more upset with the addition of Hayden in the as the spirits than anything
that
else.
Was, you're right. That was a big deal. It still is.
That was the big talk. Yeah. You know, the original's classic. You know, you can't go wrong with the original one.
The original only one that sounds like an animal.
Right.
The third one is absolutely ridiculous.
The first one is a they actually used a something from a Hanna-Barbera sound library to create that. So I think that may be one of the main reasons why they switched it out, is possibly Lucas probably was paying royalties to Hanna-Barbera for use of that sound.
Tim, are you saying this one right here is from a cartoon?
That's the DVD one.
No, that's the original one.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's the original one, yeah.
And that was from a cartoon, you said?
I think it was taken from Magilla Gorilla.
I don't know exactly where it was used. I think it was used as like a dinosaur sound in some of the old Hanna-Barbera cartoon libraries. But yeah, that is actually from a Hanna-Barbera sound library.
Well, what's weird is that this one here from the Blu-ray, it does sound like a human impersonating an animal, like totally.
That does not totally sound like a human impersonating an animal.
Yeah, that does sound like a dude.
Sounds like a dude, yeah. But doesn't sound like a very good impression.
I will say this. I prefer the original. The second, the DVD release, I think is just ridiculous. I don't like that one very. I was like, who's gonna? It just sounds like a car alarm going off. But the new one, with the exception of the weird scream at the beginning, I actually kind of like the Blu-ray version. With the exception,
God, you are
the
such
first,
a tool.
The first, let's say it's 5 seconds long. The first 2 seconds of it, I think, are a little weird. But that weird flanging of the scream, I kind of like. That would turn my head if I was in a canyon.
All right, I want to hear this again. This is the Blu-ray. I'm like.
Well, when it first comes on, it sounds like he's going like, oh, he's like yelling.
Yeah,
it sounds like he just stubbed his toe. Ooh, wow, son of a bitch!
But then at the end, it's like it gets really high.
It becomes like very ghostly.
Yeah.
And
it sounds ridiculous. It is just ridiculous.
I always thought too, when you see Obi-Wan walking over the hill, is he walking like a monster ghost kind of thing, or is he just old and he's having some bad foot problems?
That's a good question, and I was thinking that as you were playing these, because it's like it's supposed to be this sound that scares them off, and they hear this sound of this mating, whatever you want to say it is, and it's the idea that this thing's pissed off and coming this way. Well, if he's coming over the ridge, stumbling around like a pub crawl, what does that add to the terror? I mean, he looks ridiculous.
Exactly. You want to see it again?
Yeah, I do. I want to see it again.
All right. Hold on.
He looks like he's a drunk.
And like he's batting flies away.
Yeah.
Look at him.
That just sounds ridiculous, Tim. I don't know how you can say you like that unless you're just.
I like the original better, but that is an improvement over the second one. Chris, I sent the link again.
Okay.
See if it'll work. But I do. I prefer that one over.
Okay,
over the second version.
I don't know if I agree because I don't remember that. That's fair. But I thought you were saying you just like it on general principle. Like that's a neat sound. I'd like to put that as my ringtone.
I do again. The second half, the first half, where it literally sounds like I stepped on a nail.
Sounds like someone ripped a Band-Aid off. Ooh, wow! Owie!
I would never have that ringtone play at a bar. I think I'm trying to, you know,
mate someone. That's right.
You know,
it is a cool sound.
It is a cool sound.
But to believe that this came out of a human being's gullet,
someone of that age who can't walk over a hill.
It's a Jedi Force power, the Jedi
and
throat.
Why is the sound so much more clear and reverberating and three-dimensional than anything else in that track? I mean, that just, why do they do that shit? It just, I don't understand that. It's like, how do you think that's not going to be noticed when listening to this? I just don't get this changes.
Both of the changes between this the 2004 and the DVD or the Blu-ray release are unnecessary.
Yep.
Here you go, Tim. Here's the one that you like.
No, he said he hates this one.
I hate this one? All right.
This is the DVD?
The 2004 version.
It's like a loud whistle.
It's a wolf call.
Okay, it's not great, but it's more... I buy that humans making that more than the new one.
I'm with Matt, yeah.
So
it's force whistle.
Between the four of us, you have to choose. Chris, which of the three are you choosing?
I like the Blu-ray.
Are you serious?
I am serious.
Why? Explain to me why. You try to convince me that that's good, because I can't believe you're honestly saying that.
Because it's loud and it's long. I'm being serious. This one here is just a whistle. It's like, woohoo, over here.
That's so stupid.
All right, Tim, you're also choosing the Blu-ray?
If we can't ever have the original again, because I have no problem with the original, between the Blu-ray and the DVD, Blu-ray all the way.
Whoa, all the way. That's even worse than what I said.
No, it's not. What you said is just as bad. DVD, because that's the only one of those two that sounds like someone's actually making the noise. There's no way that someone's making that other noise. I don't give a shit if you're a Jedi or not. It's like suddenly Jedis can speak in 7.1 Dolby surround sound. That's bullshit.
So your favorite of the three is the DVD release?
No, my favorite's the original. But if I had to choose between the two, which I don't, maybe I missed the point of your question, the original.
Okay.
You know what they should have done is they should have CGI'd Obi-Wan walking over the hill better.
He does look like a guy in his 60s stumbling over some rocks.
Probably because he's a guy in his 60s stumbling over some rocks.
Well, that's like loud and just so creepy.
That would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, if it would, but there's no way he could do that. There's no way. Yeah. Oh, you're telling me the first part of the first bit of that is not ridiculous sounding? That
the first, as I said, the first.
It's like we'll say
it's 5 seconds long. It's like the first 2 seconds of that are kind of crazy.
He was about to make that sound, so he took in a deep breath, and then someone handed him a piece of cake, and he went, ooh. And then he was like, oh, wait, I need to make a scary sound. Oh, I.
Now, Dave, which of those would you take?
Well, I do agree with you that sound in the Blu-ray is a cool sound. Like if I was watching a horror movie and it was like about a haunted house or something, that is a cool sound effect. I think that's a cool achievement in sound effects, but it's stupid.
Thank you.
The original is the best, and I do agree with Tim that one, the DVD one, I don't like at all. So I think I do like the Blu-ray better than the DVD.
Ugh. Nice. So if we have to do it, number one is original, number two is Blu-ray, mm-hmm. and number three is 2004 DVD.
Yeah, okay, Tim, we get it. You're voting against me. Let's rub it in. So, to put it another way, we're saying that we all like that and Matt doesn't. And here's another fact. Joey Fatone was Jedi number 7 on the right, and Brian Daly sketched out rough drafts of blah, 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 blah.
But Matt is right. It doesn't belong there, and I think it's a bad change. I'm not saying that I like it in this movie. I just think it's a cool sound effect in general, but not as something coming out of his mouth. Now, I can't tell if you were trying to be funny or not, Tim, when you said about Jedi having some kind of, you know, forced throat. I mean, how is he making forced throat? He said something about that. How is he making that noise? Is he using the force to make that noise?
I believe he's using some sort of force power. So, you know,
through two generations of Jedi and 6 movies, that's the power we've only ever get to see once.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a force power.
Yeah.
Let me hear it again.
The Blu-ray?
Yeah. I like that sound effect.
See, you love the sound effect, but you just don't like...
No, I don't want it in Star Wars. I want it in Poltergeist.
As what?
Carol Ann running away from it.
Let's see, I know why it does that. It's a cavern, and it's echo.
Listen to the freaking sound quality difference of that to the Tusken Raiders. That's the part that pisses me off. It's not hard to quality match. They could have made it sound like it was part of the original recording. I think that's the thing that makes me mad the most is the, okay, we're going to take a 30-year-old film and slap a freaking 30-second-old clip that we just made completely digitally and not make any adjustment to blend it in, and no one will notice.
I'm going to say this. I'm playing it again one more time because what he does in the beginning, the rest of it is an echo through the caverns and caves.
So you think he only makes the...
The beginning part.
Ooh, I found a quarter. And then
I didn't hear the I found a quarter part, but...
And everything else is an echo?
Yes. It's echoing through the caverns.
No, you're wrong.
Well, and then it fades out with that initial... Yeah. Scream. So that's a good theory.
That's a terrible theory.
Matt, and I'm right, and Matt is wrong. Trivia.
Nope. And I'll tell you the deciding factor in that statement is that I can edit what you just said out.
Well, just so we can end it on a nice little level of agreement. Too can late, you play the original? Can you play the original one just one last time?
Here it comes.
No. That's all I got.
It has no power behind it. No oomph.
Whatever. But at least it sounds like it's a part of the soundtrack.
I remember watching that as a, you know, maybe not a 4-year-old the first time, but seeing it in later viewings and thinking that it was stupid that this old man was waving his arms around and flailing around.
I watched that now and I just laugh. I smile.
You know what? Yeah, what's interesting?
These scary creatures are just running away from it. I was, even as a small child, I was like, that's kind of stupid. I love this, but that's dumb.
What's interesting is that, you know, we didn't even think of to discuss this is that it's never, he never explains in any of the movies. And if you only ever saw the movies and didn't read anything online, didn't listen to the radio dramas, didn't read the, you know, novelization, he never explains in the movie that's what he does. So as far as we know, it wasn't even him making that sound. He stepped on a tail of some other stupid animal for all we know, you know?
It could have been a real crate dragon.
Yeah. So he never actually explains that in the film that that's what he was doing.
It's true. I don't remember if it was in the original novelization or not, but yeah, in the film there is no explanation for what just happened.
Hold on, I'll be right back. My toe! Love that.
I would like to know who recorded, whose voice is that? I know that Matt Wood and the other, I forget the other guys who does sound editing for Lucas, they had to actually recreate the entire soundtrack for Star Wars. And so they created that, but I wonder if that's one of their voices.
Don't care.
Well, you know, Chris has this paper here with his information on it, and there's two different pictures of, you know, like what they think the crate dragon may or may not look like. And they're both pretty different. Like one of them looks more like a smaller, fatter lizard. And then the other thing is enormous, probably more like the skeleton that's in the movie. And it kind of looks like the thing that Boba Fett's riding in the animated part of the holiday special.
It does. There's the crate dragon, and then there's this other one called the greater crate dragon.
Yeah.
And the greater crate dragon looks like a sea monster. Yeah, like Nessie or Champ.
It's not supposed to be that same thing from Boba Fett, is it?
I don't think so.
Different planet.
And on Boba Fett's thing, it's a water based creature.
Or, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like he's in a big mud pool or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually a funny on the second Robot Chicken, there's actually a funny skit with Carrie Fisher and Andy Richter as crate dragons, but they're in the sea, and Andy Richter's like, I want to go and see the world.
Yep.
And then he leaves the water, and then it cuts to him dead on the dune sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been, I mean, it's, to me, I find this interesting to listen to you guys talk about this stuff, because it, we're talking about obscure characters. This never appears on screen living. There's a skeleton and then all this other nonsense. So this has been, I've been enlightened by what you guys have taught me here.
I don't think I've ever been this mad talking about original trilogy character before.
Well, what's weird is that this Kray Dragon photo on the top right looks like one of the monsters and creatures from Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, that one doesn't look like the skeleton.
It looks like that cat thing.
That doesn't look like it would be the skeleton we see in the movie. The greater Kray Dragon. Yeah. Okay, I could buy that.
Yeah. The top one is closer to Ralph McQuarrie's design. I don't know who did that bottom Kray Dragon.
Interesting. I didn't see this. Lower down on that Wikipedia page, they show that picture we've been talking about of the actual skeleton from the movie, and it says C-3PO passes the spine and skull of a greater Kray Dragon. Greater. So I guess that's what it is supposed to be, a greater.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. He ain't got no legs.
Matt, do you have a website about the best sound effects ever from the Kray Dragon from the DVD?
Nope. I'm not participating anymore.
What's your website?
This is actually far more interesting than I thought it was going to be. I was actually laughing at it when I saw it, but someone has analyzed the vertebrae skeletal structure of that picture and like has little diagrams of that. This is the cervical rib loop and this is the bifurcated neural spine and this is the shallow cleft. They have analyzed every bone from this picture and put it on their blog.
The so-and-so bone connected to the so-and-so bone.
Almost. Yeah.
Of course. That's
Someone actually went through the trouble of that. It's at, what the hell is that? svpal.wordpress.com. I'll put the direct link to it. So I read it through it. Just the fact that it managed to actually keep my attention to this entire article about shit that I have no idea about, I was like, okay, I guess that's worthy. There's not a whole lot of Kray Dragon sites out there, as you can imagine, but at least this one kept me busy for 2-3 minutes.
All right. Well, Chris, by popular demand, your services are being called upon once again. As we here at Star Wars in Character present, Chris does a dramatic reading.
There's a nobody there! The Gunga City is deserted! Some kind of fight, I think!
Do you think they have been taken to camps? More likely they were wiped out.
Yes, I don't think so!
Do you know where they are?
When in trouble, go to secret place, Mesa Shoyu. Come on, Mesa Shoyu.
I am Queen Amidala of the Naboo. I come before you in peace.
I can't read that word. Naboo Bacon used to bring in the Mackiness. Mackinese?
You so all bombed.
We wish to form an alliance, Your Honor. I am Queen Amidala. This is my decoy, my protection, my loyal bodyguard. I am sorry for my deception, but it was necessary to protect myself. Although we do not always agree, Your Honor, our two great societies have always lived in peace. The Trade Federation has destroyed all that we have worked so hard to build. If we do not act quickly, all will be lost forever. I ask you to help us know. I beg you to help us. We are your humble servants. Our fate is in your hands.
You sir no dinkin', you sir greater than the Gungans? Me sir like this, maybe we sir be friends.
Did you knock the mic over?
You sir don't grand George or bring in the devil together. So that's a making you sir bomber general.
General? Oh, no!
I was about to say, we are never doing that again until you knocked your mic over, and that was pretty funny.
I lost my headphones, Matt.
Okay.
I shook my head so hard, my headphones went off.
That's actually even funnier.
I kept on reading, that no one could even hear me.
You actually saved the bit, because I was like, never again. I don't care who likes it. I can't take it.
That was way better acting than Natalie Portman.
No, it was. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You know, it's weird. They were so small, I couldn't see where the bubbles were coming from, who it was pointing to.
You put way more emotion and thought into that than she did.
I am Queen Mamadala on the Navi Paper. We are your humble servants.
Well, now it's time for some catch-up time, hopefully.
That's right.
Catch-up time.
It's trivia time.
Yay, trivia.
And at this point, Tim is in the lead still with 16. But Chris is right behind him with 13.
I'm on your ass, Tim.
I was trying to do a crate dragon.
You gotta bang your toe first, remember?
What? Matt is right behind him with 11, and I have 6.
Oh, stub your toe. I thought you were, when you said bang your toe, I was thinking bang your toe.
All right, Chris. Good luck with this.
All righty.
Your question is coming from the Revenge of the Sith era. And here it is. What Jedi Master was taken prisoner on Brentau 4?
Brentau 4?
Yeah.
I will have the multiple choices, please.
Okay, the multiple choices are A, Agent Kolar. B, Shakti. C, Eeth Koth. Or D, Kit Fisto.
Kit Fisto, final answer.
Okay. No deliberations. You're just going right into it.
I'm guessing.
That is incorrect.
Shocking.
The answer was Agent Kolar.
Ever heard of that guy, Tim?
Agent Kolar, yeah, he looks like a cat.
Oh god, here we go.
Both him and Eeth Koth are similar. Yeah,
keep going.
Agent Kolar, Eeth Koth, I think,
keep it
has
coming.
Long hair. Agent Kolar does not have long hair.
Keep spilling it.
All right, Tim. You get to flex your Phantom Menace muscles.
Wow.
From the Phantom Menace era, your question goes like this. How many wives did Ka-Adi-Mundi have?
Oh, my
God. Oh, we had this.
We had this, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to need the... I'm going to need the...
I think he needs
multiple choice.
Another question, I think.
Should we choose another?
I remember this.
I don't remember
I believe this was a question we had.
It is. It was on the 25th episode.
All right, we are not going to use this. I'm making an executive decision. But do you want to take a guess anyway, Tim? You're going to get another question either way.
5.
Is that what you think the answer is? That's a choice.
I'll say 5.
It's correct.
Bam.
But you don't get it.
Oh.
Ow. All right. You're going to end up with a question from the original trilogy.
I was going to say, this could backfire. He could get 2 points where we could have limited him to 1.
That is true. Well, here you go. Your question is coming from the Empire Strikes Back era. Okay. And you are going to so know this. Who portrayed General Rykan in the Empire Strikes Back?
Bruce Boa. Dearly departed Bruce Boa.
Bruce Boa. Is correct.
Yeah. That was so hard, Tim. How'd you do that?
We met Bruce Boa at Celebration 2, I want to say.
Yes, we did.
Nice old man.
What was the temperature, Tim, since you know everything else about fucking Star Wars?
The temperature.
Celebration 2 was cold. I remember it was cold.
God.
All right, Matt.
Yeah.
It's from the Revenge of the Sith era.
Yay.
And it is this. What was Lampei Fei's species?
I don't even know who Lampei Fei is.
Me neither.
So, yeah, give me the multiple choice.
Okay. Was Lampei Fei A, Utai, B, Powan?
Oh.
C, Nemoidian. or D. Polis Masson?
I think I do know who it is now, because I think his name came up in our Tion Medon episode. So what was he? Was he an Untapel? What was the first one?
The first one was Utai. It's U-T-A-I.
Okay.
And the second one was Pauin, which is P-A-U apostrophe N.
And isn't the freaking planet called Utapau? So it could be either one or two?
Yeah, it does look like it's a combination of these two words.
Don't worry.
I'll go with B, Pauin.
That is correct.
All right. Hey, so actually, you know, having done all these shows actually benefited me.
That was very well done.
That was well done.
All right, Chris.
I'm going to give you one that Tim had. Who portrayed Han Solo? where were we at? 1930.
All right. That sounds like an original trilogy question.
It is. It's from The Empire Strikes Back.
The greatest movie ever made.
Ready for this?
I am ready.
Along which galactic trade route would one come across Hoth?
Galactic trade route.
That's what it says.
So this is supposed to be a pretty out there planet. So it could be something like the Outer Rim or something like that. But I don't exactly know. So I'll take the multiple choice and see if there's anything that sounds like it's kind of off the beaten path.
Is it A, Hydean Way? Is it B, Paraminian trade route? Is it C, Rima trade route? Or is it D, Corellian trade spine? Not a route, spine.
That helped not even a little bit. I'm going to eliminate D because at least the other three are all routes. So well,
A is Hydean Way.
Oh, that's right.
There's one way, two routes, one spine.
I'm going to say it's one of the routes.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with C, whatever the hell it was.
Rima, trade route.
That's my answer.
Incorrect. It was D, the spine.
Come on.
Spine.
That's one terrible.
That is terrible.
Questions like that are just ridiculous.
I'm starting to feel sorry for you and Matt.
Why?
And me.
These are the breaks.
Oh, man.
All right, that was not a good episode for everybody, at least the ones that want to catch Tim, because he kind of pulled ahead there.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys can still do it.
We won't, though. No chance. Well, I'd like to thank you for listening to our discussion about the crate dragon that made the best sound that was ever created that Matt loves deep down inside. Join us next time we discuss Plo Koon!
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.